Thank you all for using your gifts. Appreciate it. So here we are today, and I would please encourage you, do show up after you grab some refreshments and coffee time and come in. I'd love to hear, as part of the discernment process, what's on your heart? What do you have questions about? What matters to you? And the way to do that is to come and just ask questions. Listen, for me to listen and know and see, again, what the discernment process will be, what God wants. So please come, please ask questions. You know, that's the only way we're going to find out whether God wants this or it's continuing on for both of us. So this morning, the scripture passages are going to be up there. I'm going to talk a few minutes, and then we'll get to a first section, then I'll talk a little bit more in a second section. So what I wanted to talk about this morning is the idea of born with it. And hopefully by the end we'll understand what that means and why that is important. But the idea of born with it. So where I'm starting is I want a reminder for all of us of where our status is in terms of our lives and in connection with God. Where do we stand with God? And the reason I'm thinking about that is that as churches now have an obligation and an opportunity, and I think the joy to reach out to be more than we've been, and that's every church. That's not this church alone. That's every church. To reach out and be faithful in the world that God set us in, we have to understand a little bit more of about our place, our role, our status, so that when we reach out, when we're out there in the world, when we're being with each other, we can do that authentically. We can do that well with each other and not give ourselves a kind of false understanding as we walk out into the world. So, are we going to be people of love, mercy, integrity, and grace because we exhibit those as well and we have been given those as well by each other? So, one of the things I'm thinking about, if we have this idea that we know where we're at, we know our status, we know this kind of things, we're not going to think too highly of ourselves, right? We'll have a right view of ourselves. Not that we are the worst ever, but not that we are better than we are without Christ. The idea, we know this all, we didn't earn any of this. We were given this free gift of grace. So if we understand our place and that we were given this by Christ, this love, this joy, this salvation, this faith, then we don't think too highly of ourselves because we didn't earn it. We don't isolate ourselves from the blessings of what it looks like when Christ says iron sharpens iron, that we can confess to one another. We can be real with each other, not in the real, let me tell you about you, that kind of real. That's not real. The real of, here's my struggles, here's my brokenness, here's where I need the power of Christ living in me, and doing that for each other so that we can do that for our friends and our neighbors and those among us. We can also get to a point if we understand our nature and Christ's work within us, not too highly, we can also understand that, guess what? We don't have to prioritize the sins of others as if they're so much other than what our own sins are, right? Look at them. Look at those, you know? There's a pastor I know in West Michigan who says, I wish we hated our own sin as much as we hate the sin of others. Ouch. Right? That stings. So if we have this understanding of where we are to be authentic, loving, gracious, truth-filled, without a doubt, but followers of Jesus Christ who are continually working on our salvation with fear and trembling, then we go into the world in a different place. Not from a position of authority, not from a position of perfection, not from a position of look at what I have accomplished, but to the position of Christ, who humbled himself as a servant, who came up and said, allow me to love you, but show you a better way. Allow me to care for you and walk with you in this. We can't forget or ignore the fact that as we look at the world, we were once as well. We were once was, and now we are once changed and different, and that was not of ourselves. So let's look at God's word. So I'm not sure if I have the NIV, but we'll read along. And this is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, but I'm only going to go through the first few verses. So if you have a Bible, do you guys have pew Bibles? I know it's up there, but pew Bibles are good too. Personal Bibles are great. It's kind of hard to do both when you've got the iPad going, but I wish I had my regular Bible. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in what you... Let's start over. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's a big verse, right? You were dead. That's not partially alive. That's not on life support. You were dead. That's us. That's what Paul is saying. You were dead. Not they were dead. You were dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So he said, you were dead and you were like that. You were being worked upon by the enemy of God. You were being worked upon in disobedience. Whoa. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So God is setting up, Christ here is setting up the idea, we were once this thing, right? This ugliness, this abomination, this separation from God. We were once this thing. But there's good coming, right? We were once that. If we were once that, then I don't think he's going to leave us there, right? He's going to bring us to another place. But he wants us to remember what was so that we can have the hope and the joy and the motivation for what will be. That's hope. That's the gospel, right? Because it's not just for us. It's we were once and God did this. Guess what? He can do that time and time and time and time and time again. I wish, this is a little side note, I wish we all had displays built into us. I know we have too many screens, but if my sin was constantly scrolling on here that said, Ty deals with this and Ty deals with that, could I be fake? No, I'd be forced into some level of honesty. I've used this, I hate to say it, but I've used this analogy for 4 years now because I lived in Pella long ago. And I said, you have all these beautiful buildings downtown, right? There's the code that says you must have a Dutch front. Doesn't say you have to have a Dutch back. That's another... But we know what a Dutch front is. But some of those buildings I've been in, right? What does it look like behind the Dutch front? If we had this, there would be no Dutch front. It would be reality. It would be brokenness, which keeps us, again, in that place of humility, in that place of our dependence upon Jesus Christ, in our place of understanding the once was. Not so that we live there, but that as we go out into the world, I can't say, here's my Dutch front. Here, I'm beautiful. Oh, I'm great. I'm beautiful. I'm good. I've got it all together. We can be honest and genuine, real, which is what Christ calls us to be. But then there's also the thing where you can walk up and say, oh, Joe's got it too. Everybody's got it too. You know, Shane's got it too. And I can look at Shane and they're like, brother, we're dealing with some of the same stuff. Let's walk together in faith and hope and righteousness to work on this so that we can be authentic together. Like, I know it's scary, but wouldn't that be kind of great? There'd be no more faking it. And I think that could be a very blessed thing. It would keep us honest. And not humiliate us, but say, hey, let's walk together. Because don't we want to be like Jesus? But that takes work. And when the Dutch front exists, when we hide, when we think we've all got it together, that's working in the wrong way to keep up appearances instead of keep humble and holy. And it would also help us connect with the world around us, right? Because the mission of the church is not for the church is for the world. The church is out there for the not yet, the once were, the might be. Again, we plant the seeds, we do the work. It's Christ who will. We can't save anybody. Christ does. So as we go out in the world and, you know, I'm walking around like this and it says this and that and I see the guy at the restaurant, we're eating and I, you know, oh, you go to a church, but look, you've got, I can identify with that. Not to say, oh, cool, we're both broken in this way. Let's live in that. But, oh, well, why do you go to church? You're broken. Because Jesus fixes broken things. Come on, join with. Jesus, the hot mess that I am, You know, it's being changed. It's being renewed. It's becoming more like Christ. Come on. Be a part of us. Because the church, what do we have? We have a reputation of being better than. What's the word that was used for Pella Christian kids 50 years ago? Somebody say it. You know it. Offies. Oftedal. My Dutch stinks. Sorry. Why? We're better. We're not. We're broken. We need a Savior. We need redemption. We need His love. We need Him to walk with us. And He does. That's the beauty of the church. But come on. Come in. Come. Hey, you at the back door, come on in. Join us. Please. Let us work this out together. We're all affected by the fall. Now, we had a couple little theological discussions that I had a good time. I asked some of the guys, TULIP. What's the first T in TULIP? Total depravity. Now, as I learned that as a kid, my first thought was what? I am totally messed up. I am as bad as bad as bad as bad can be. It's like Satan and then me. That's not what total depravity means. It means there is nothing that I can do to reach up to God without God first initiating. So I am as far away as God from God as possible, because on my own I cannot reach to God. I am wholly, totally separated. But God bridges that gap. So it's a comfort, actually. So in our brokenness, we can take comfort that God does the heavy lifting. God does the work. God reaches out. God said, I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want us. Come on. The Lord and God who created all of this beautiful world said, I want a Dusty. So not only did He create a Dusty, He said, I want Dusty in my body. I want Dusty in my church. I want a Bev, and I want a Brent, and I want, you know, I'm picking on names just for the people I know. So I want a Matt, and I want a Lisa, you know. Come, like, whoa. And if God, if I want that, I love that feeling, then why wouldn't I want to say, well, Lord, what can we do so that Bill over there down the road, who's my neighbor, can have that feeling too? Why do we hold on to the one thing that we can give away day after day after day and we never lose it ourselves? Actually, we get more of it. That's Jesus Christ. You cannot outgive God. We cannot out Jesus, Jesus. So if I've been given this wonderful gift, and I'm not preaching from authority of like, I've got this figured out. I am preaching from the humility of, idiot, get out there and give more Jesus. Be more Jesus. Look like more Jesus. That total depravity set something up. We were broken. We were separated. The fall sent ripples. It's like a big tidal wave through the world. And it created all this stuff. And so here's where the born with it idea comes in. We don't want to see our own brokenness. But the fall, humanity's rebellion, and our own personal sin have set up the cancer that's out in this world. Not just medical cancer, but the cancer of sin. Now, if we had the iPads out again, you know, it's like your sin is going to be personalized to you in a way that it's not to Matt. His is going to be a little different. Lisa's going, it's all different. It's like a cancer. It changes. It metastasizes. It's different. Right? That's why we have all this stuff in the world, but no one of us has the same issue completely. You know, the fall started alcohol and drug abuse, gender and sexuality issues, lust and infidelity, pride, gluttony, lies, hatred, abuse, violence, inappropriate uses of power. It's a different mix for each person. But this depravity, this walking away from God, has created all that. It exists in the church and it exists outside the church. But Jesus Christ and His church are the only hope for humanity. So that's what we need to be about. To ignore the born with it and allow for the Spirit to get within us and change us into His likeness. God wants to bring us back. And He has for many of us. But that back is already, and it's not yet. Saved, and in the process of being moved into the likeness of Jesus. That's what we call sanctification, right? It is a process that says, here I am today, and as I read the Word, as I study the Word, as I come to worship, as I praise my God, as I do all these things, these opportunities that Christ gives me and we get to be a part of, then look, tomorrow I'm a little more Christ-like and a little more Christ-like. Nope, there's going to be a bad day and there's going to be good days, but it's a moving process that we get to be a part of. So let's continue on. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. Again, we have been given this beautiful thing that is not of ourselves. And as a church, what are we doing with it? I'm not condemning. I don't know you yet as a congregation. But what are we doing with that? Are we reaching into this world with this free gift that God gave to us and he's willing to give to whomever he chooses? You know, we're not going to talk about election today and predestination, but we know that God can give his gift to whoever he chooses, and we do not yet know who that is. So wouldn't it be joyful? Let's take an example. I don't know if I technically like the correct bakery in this town. 23 years ago, I did not like the correct bakery in this town. They are both great bakeries. I liked the right meat market in this town, but I did not. My favorite was not the right bakery for the denomination I served 23 years ago. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, ask somebody who's been here forever. But what if you had free unlimited treats from one of those bakeries? Or free unlimited ring bologna from the bakery or from this slaughterhouse of your choosing? And you could just get, like, here you go. Here. Maybe you don't like Pella Bologna, but maybe you like Twists or Knots, or you like the Homer Simpson donut I saw. You like, and you could just give that out all day. Wouldn't that be fun? I think it'd be a hoot. In Michigan a couple of weeks ago, we had the $1.25 billion lottery that was up. Could you imagine? But wouldn't that be fun? We were talking about it. Wouldn't that be fun to just give that away? To be able to, like, you know, I've worked at camps before. All of a sudden, in front of camp, there'd be five brand new vans, right? Because their old ones are beat up. Or you go over here, you know, Pella Christian had a need, and all of a sudden, there's a bucket of cash for that need. Or over at Pella Preschool, or, you know, somewhere. Or you know a family that's just struggling. And, you know, I think that would be a hoot. Well, the same thing exists for us in Jesus Christ. But it's better than ring bologna. It's better than a twist donut from a bakery in town. It's better than a bucket of cash. It's life. Not eternal security. It's that too. It's the someday, but it's now. Somebody cares for me. Somebody loves me. Somebody listens to me in the situation that I'm in. So, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Because we understand that brokenness, because we see who we really are of ourselves, but yet ask for the Spirit to show us who we are in Christ, then come on, church, let's go. Let's have fun with this. Let's do this. Let's understand that we're born with this brokenness and depravity. But God changed us. God has shaped us. God has called us to something so much better. We have an answer, not of our own, for a broken and dying world. You know, I've had friends that deal, well, that's the way I was born, too bad. I shouldn't have to worry. It's too hard. I was born with whatever identity issues, you know what I'm talking about. There are kids here. We were born this way. We were born that way. Yeah, so was I. I have brokenness that I was born with. There's no, oh, rats, I lost my get out of jail free card for my brokenness. Because there isn't one. There's Jesus who says, I don't care how you were born, look what I can do. I can take the worst, the ugliest, the brutalest, the farthest away from me, and I can redeem, I can buy them back. I can bring them to me. I can love them. I can care for them. I can change who they are and who the world thought that they are. Because Christ in us is stronger and more powerful and ultimately the only power that can change us. And again, let's not be selfish. We can bring that to the world. We can bring that out there. You see, this is from Romans. You see, at the just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And remember, we were once there. I don't care if you were born in the church or not. We were at a place, all of us, sometime, someplace, prior to when God redeemed us and bought us back. When he tagged our heart to say yes, to his offer. Christ died for the ungodly. I was a part of that group. You were too. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though a good person, for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as this church, where does Cornerstone sit? Are you at a watershed moment in the life of this church? You are looking for a new shepherd to walk with you. Not for you, not over you, with you. To help us see with more clear lenses who we have been and the gloriousness of God's faithfulness for all the years this church has been a church. Who we are in the reality of our brokenness, but also in the reality of what God gave you for his use and service someday. We see musical talent, right? We see people who are willing to be cadet leaders, gems leaders, kids leaders. We see people who were willing to, if I had a best place to bet, I bet there was a lot of sweat equity from the body of this church that went into the building of this building, right? It wasn't just, hey, we'll write the check and somebody else came in and did it. Pella doesn't do it that way. At least I bet this church didn't do it. So God has blessed us and gifted us. The four of you are unique for how God created you. So are you going to jump in and be a part of the plan for what God wants for this church and for the community? And will you, sir? And will this family? And will this family? You know, that's the question. The born with it should just give us more of an appreciation for what God has done in our lives and still wants to do. Let's pray. Father, your word is a beautiful thing. And seeing the beauty of that beauty, that word that says, look, you took people who have messed up. You have taken people who have failed. You have taken a broken world, and yet you didn't just throw it in the trash can and say, next. Your covenant has lasted for countless generations. And your plan from the very beginning was a rescue plan. Lord, let's jump on the wagon. Let's be a part of that. Let's go where you want us to lead. Let us go where you want to lead us. See the brokenness for what is in the past and the glorious future you have for us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.